My presentation is really on a ground floor, I think. It is about a training for assistance personnel in small healthcare facilities in Germany. It was a project which we did in the last year. And it was a model project by that way, the first one to work with e-learning, with these kind of groups. And I think our experiences are mixed. They are not, so I'm not that optimistic like Christina that it is possible to make very sophisticated and very new and innovative learning forms for these kind of people. But before, I would like to characterize a little bit the people and the shops about I'm going to talk. This is that around half of the doctors in Germany are working independent in small health in their own shop, so to say. Either they work alone or they share the shop with two or three colleagues. So these are really small facilities. And they have got assistance mainly by female personnel who are trained on administrative things, on basic healthcare stuff. And this is not very elaborated or sophisticated work, which what the females are doing there. They are really more assistance to the doctors. So it is in so far a female sector as the wages are low, a high share of part-time work, and it is typically no breadwinner job, so you can't live on that. It is a little bit an additional job. So there are no career prospects either for the women, and also a very low participation and in training, and also a very small offer of professional training for these women. So now there is a development going on in the healthcare sector that the doctors are making fusions, so to say. So there is a trend towards bigger shops, larger facilities that five or six or seven doctors work together, and they have a range of services like in a small clinic. And that means that also the working the qualification needs for the assistant personnel is going up. That's the first development. The second development is that there is a more e-health, so to say, that is more knowledge, more transactions going or passing in the internet, taking place in the internet. And that means that the assistant personnel also should raise significantly their ICT proficiency and their knowledge in ICT. So that's the basis. Was that so far clear? Then please change the slide. Okay, yeah. There are a lot of, as I said already, typical barriers for training. So the healthcare assistants, they are not used to training. They have got low wages. They have got no career prospects. And they are not very motivated to participate in training. So they have got also not so many money to afford a very sophisticated or good training. They are reluctant to travel. They have got family responsibilities. So they are not that mobile, not that very mobile and high qualified. And we thought about that we should offer now a training for this healthcare facilities assistance for the female staff, and it should be an e-learning because of two ideas. The first one is that with e-learning, with blended learning, we can overcome some of the barriers for training. That means they can learn at home. They can learn maybe at the workplace because the lunch breaks are very long in the healthcare sector. And the second idea was that they can learn with a PC. That means the personal computer is also a tool for learning. So they get their content and they get the practice at the same times as a didactical approach. The third idea was there is really in the internet a very high offer of different content in medicine, and we thought we could include that, and we could use the internet as a really big source of different information. So, and therefore we thought it would be a good idea to make for the assistants, or to develop for the assistants personnel in a blended learning training. So I think you can change the slide now. Okay, a blended learning approach.
Excuse me. I think. Okay. Excuse me, Doris. Mm-hmm. I think we have a question from Graham. Is it right?
Okay. Mhm. Yes, please.
Yeah, I don't particularly want to interrupt to ask a question. I was just putting it in the chat room. But there's the question, you're saying they've got long lunch breaks. Does that mean that we're expecting them to learn in their own time, or should they be learning in the employer's time?
We expected them to learn them in the lunch breaks. But this is the employer's time, yes. So these facilities normally they close at 12 o'clock and they open up again at 3 o'clock. And there are different models. A part of these women, they go at home, make lunch for the families, and then go back to the shop. And a part stay in the facility and make there some administrative work. But the main thing is there are no patients at that time, and we thought it would be a good idea that they have got then spare time, and they could really have time to learn and to use the internet resources for learning. We developed a curricula for the women, and it was a curricula where we made a combination of ICT proficiency, internet security. We included also quality management, which is a very hot topic for the medical healthcare facilities in Germany. We included marketing, and we included communication with colleagues, with patients, and with a doctor. Because in these small shops, there are often communication problems among the personnel. So we designed a more or less traditional curricula with learning goals, which should have been attained with several hours learning. We designed 60 hours 120 hours of learning, and this should end up with a final test. So this arrangement was more or less traditional schooling arrangement. We implemented, now the question was who should implement that, because it was an innovative training and there was no facility at hand for that. We spoke with a professional school in a city of Krefeld where they train the young workers, and where they normally work with young people, and we asked them if they would agree also to work with employed people. And for the teachers in that school, e-learning was a complete new topic. They did not knew a lot of about that, so they were really used to traditional training. And we discussed with them that we would like to have a blended learning concept. That means half of the learning time should be in school and half of the learning time should be in the internet on a Moodle platform. We decided for Moodle because this technology enables teachers and trainers to put their scripts and put their materials there. Rather easily. We had checked different platforms and found that they were rather complicated to use. So we needed a technology which was really easy to use also for the teachers. Then we won several participants from four healthcare facilities in Krefeld with different specializations. There was a doctor for ear, nose and throat, there was a radiologist, a dermatologist and an urologist, and our idea was that everybody in these healthcare facilities should have the opportunity to learn. So we proposed the doctors an all-inclusive approach. That means they should pay once, and all the personnel of their shops could participate in the training, including the doctors as well. So the doctors got the opportunity not to participate in the present phases of the learning, but to participate in the platform. So then the next slide, if there are no questions left. Next slide, please. Okay. Yes, because the topic of blended learning or e-learning was so new for the teachers, we had to introduce the trainers at first to the concept, and we used the PRS, this number, but this is public available specification, which is a kind of norm, a European norm on the quality of training. I found that that tool very instructive because it goes step by step. It describes step by step what is necessary to develop a good quality training, and also what is necessary to develop an e-learning. And so with the help of this instrument, I could explain the trainers what I had in mind when I thought, when I said I need a blended learning. Is there a question?
Excuse me, Doris?
Yes,
okay. Excuse me. There is a question from Graham as well, I see.
Okay.
Graham? Yeah, I'm very interested in your presentation, Doris. I mean, its use of these tools make it very easy to help teachers and trainers who've got no experience before. But the problem, of course, is that these all produce a standardized course and can cut down on the creativity of the different tools, for example, that Christina was showing in her last presentation. Now, it's not a criticism. I don't know the answer to that, because I can see why we want those tools, but those tools are very standardized.
Yes, I see. That is a complete different presentation to that what Christina said. I think we had a very traditional approach, and we used the basics. And even with that basics, we had several difficulties. And I think to have a teacher or a trainer capable to make use of the tools which Christina presented, this requires a lot of experience. We allowed the doctors that they should also access the platform, and we thought that the doctors would use the platform in order to look what their assistants are doing there, what they are learning, and so on. One specific was that we had one tutor who observed the activities of the learners in the platform, for the rest of the training, each trainer was self-responsible for the material and for the activities how they used the platform. Okay, then the next slide, please.
Is it okay if I interrupt?
Yes, okay.
Please.
So sorry to interrupt. I was just listening to what you were saying and what Graham was saying about creativity. And I was wondering if different techniques and strategies could not be applied when we are talking about different subjects for learning. I gather you will have technical issues and procedures that nurses and the healthcare assistants have to perform exactly. And I was wondering if there is some room for creativity when we are talking about those learning subjects. that maybe is maybe quite different from other subjects that we might be learning, for instance, our natural language or maths or sciences or history or something of the sort. And that's also a question for Graham. I mean, can you apply in those kinds of technical procedures that are so precise, can you apply too much creativity, and do you have many other ways of evaluating if they know what they're supposed to be doing when they have a patient in front of them? Thank you.
I think that was a question to Graham, but I can also answer. For the doctors, it was necessary for the doctors that they knew what the assistants are learning there, and they wanted they needed a firm explanation that the assistants a firm explanation of the training goals, that the assistants after the training would be capable to work better with the computer, would be capable to design the marketing and so on. That is a precondition to sell the training to the doctors, because they gave some money inside. It was not only public money. And I think as a trainer or seller of training, I would have really had difficulties to explain the doctors that I will raise only the creativity of the assistants. So I think there is also a need of customers in training to know what they get there. On the next, so until that, I explained our approach and how we thought that the training would happen. And now I will go on with our experience. And as said already, it was rather mixed. The first experience which did not take place, actually, that not all the participants or not all healthcare assistants in the facilities made use of the training. I thought it would be they did not have to put own money inside. They had to put only their time inside, and it was encouraged by the doctor. So we expected that would be enough, but in fact it was not the case. It was in each facility, although they were working about 8 or 10 of these assistants, only one or two participated really in the training. That's the first, not so high participation as I expected. The second one, we had a high drop-off rate, particularly at the beginning, when the assistants realized the amount of learning, what is going to happen, and how many times they really should invest in that. Then we experienced that the doctors did not use the platform, although they got a training and they were invited and encouraged, but they did not care at all for the training efforts of their assistants. That was really a quite surprise for us. Then we experienced a high differentiation of the ICT abilities and competences. So there were women who could work with a PC and with a Moodle platform because they were already fluent in office software. But for the women for whom the computer was a new stuff, they were really reluctant to use all these techniques. And they were also among the women who dropped off the course. So I think what Christina said in her last presentation, that you have to put the people at hand and that you make feel them comfortable. That's exactly what we experienced with our learners in Krefeld. In part, for those 8 learners who managed to finish the course, in part, they enlarged their work tasks at the workplace, really. They got new tasks and improved reputation among their colleagues, and an improved self-esteem as well. And in one case, even a higher wage, where the doctor saw that his assistant was now capable to manipulate the doctor's, the website of the facility, then she got really a small career step inside this small facilities. What we experienced also, that there was a higher learn motivation for the older women, that means the women above 30, although the younger women, they had less difficulties with the techniques. So maybe there is a trade-off. Okay.
Hey, Doris.
Are there any questions? Graham?
Yes. Now it's
okay.
It's Sylvia. We have not so many time left, so maybe can you, in 2-3 sentences, finish your presentation so that we can begin with a possible discussion. Is that okay?
Yes, please. Okay. Would you go to the next slide, maybe? Yes, this one. This is more or less the lessons learned, the 2 or 3 sentences. I thought about what the trainers of the school, who were also completely not for whom the e-learning was also a new stuff, what could they learn or what do they need? And we saw it's definitely necessary that the trainers are orientated on the needs and abilities of individual learners. And that was quite difficult for trainers who are used that they have got a standard classroom situation with a standard lessons and standard goals. And this orientation to each individual learner, that was a quite difficult step for some of the trainers of the school. Then it's absolutely necessary that each learner's preconditions are assessed carefully, and there are we saw there are opportunities to have this technologically supported by some tests, and we saw, or if we will if we should proceed with this kind of training the next time, we will make the platform even more easy and to include even more motivating elements on that. So for the trainers as well, I think we need more training for the trainers, definitely more careful training also. They need to know a lot of about abilities and knowledge about internet resources for learning. Nevertheless, they must be also capable to manage a classroom situation, and that's maybe the last point. If we include e-learning, social learning, and so on the portfolio of ordinary trainers, this will be a revolution, and this will be very difficult to get this additional abilities. Okay, I think we are going to design a super trainer where I have got some doubts that it's really working so easily. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Doris, for this presentation, for this really interesting presentation. And now I will ask the participants if there are any questions to the presentation of Doris Beer. Okay, Vance, yes?
Yeah, I was kind of stopped earlier on this question of Graham's about do you do training on company time or personal time? And that kind of bothers me in a way to divide it up like that. I mean, perhaps that's an old way of looking at things, or that's a backward look at training. If we're going to talk about trainers as being people who want to learn, then you can't really, it becomes much less easy to divide your time. I mean, I know if the session that's being talked about now, I'm sort of talking about conceptually, I mean, not really, you know, what you're trying to implement in a workplace where you have to find a time for people during the workday, and that would be lunchtime, of course, to engage in this kind of training. But I guess I kind of think in general, I just had a reaction to that, thinking that, you know, we really need to think of, so it's sort of like Google does it. You know, at Google, they have their employees put one day aside for projects. So you work 4 days on Google stuff, and then you're supposed to work 1 day out of 5 in a week on your own stuff. And then, of course, I guess you come in Saturday and Sunday, and you work on a mixture of the two.
I would like to add that to some information. We thought that the women would learn at the workplaces, but we experienced that they learned, in fact, at home. They were reluctant to learn at the workplaces, even in the lunchtime, and even when the doctors encouraged them explicitly to do so, because they said that the colleagues are controlling them. And if they are sitting there in front of the PC and doing their lessons, the colleagues would be jealous, and therefore they prefer to work at home.
Okay, then I thank you again, Doris, for your presentation. And,
thank you.